You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Howdy, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresher Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and there are just so many great things that are going on at Merit Assembly of God right now. We are so excited about everything that is happening, new coats of paint and all sorts of just cosmetic upgrades. And, you know, I'll just not go any place with that. I'll just tell you, the building at Merit Assembly of God is getting closer and closer all of the time to be into that place where it is the accurate reflection of the house of God that we want it to be. So thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to visit us, we would love to have Wednesday night. Tonight we will be meeting at 7 o'clock. We did not meet last week, but we will meet tonight, 7 o'clock. Our youth will meet in the fellowship hall. Our adults will meet over in the sanctuary, small group type format. And we would love to have you. We sing a couple of songs. We worship the Lord. We spend some time in prayer and we study the Word of God. And if you would be so kind as to grace us with your presence, we would love to have you. If you want to visit on Sunday mornings, we have intercessory prayer at 8:30, Sunday school at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:30. And then this Sunday night, we will be having a missionary, one of our missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, that is with us and is going to be sharing the word. That'll be at 6:30. So today I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need any AC work, any electrical work done, you can give them a call. They travel all the way throughout the county. They have several different members on their team. And sometimes, you know, I do know this. They work very hard. And they will get to you as soon as they can. You can give Carla a call, 321-632-9538. They are very appreciative of the Refresh Radio program and the fact that a number of people who listen have availed themselves of their services through the years. And so we say thank you for taking that recommendation valuably. And I pray that they would be able to help get your electrical needs resolved like they've done for mine. Or if you've got AC problems, they can get those taken care of as well. 321-632-9538. Today, I'm interrupting Thou Shalt Not Steal because we had spent so many broadcasts in Malachi. Today, I want to take you to Malachi chapter 4. You know, if you're like me and you read a certain passage, a certain amount of scripture on a daily basis, sometimes you can just gloss right through it. And especially if you're coming closer to the end, you say, I'm almost there, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. And in focusing on the destination, you miss out on the journey. And sometimes you overlook some things that you might not have seen. The message that I shared yesterday, I remember that was something that was very important to me. That was a timely revelation back when I was going to a minister's retreat for ministers from all across Brevard County. We met at some retreat center over in Orlando and had a couple of days of fasting and praying. And just meeting together, that word came right about that season in my life a little bit before that. In fact, I think it was that word that led to to that retreat, if I'm not mistaken. Today I want to take you to chapter 4. I'm going to read it. It's only 6 verses. And then we'll talk about two or three different aspects about this, because they're very important. They're very important. Verse number 1 of chapter 4, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So what we see here in chapter 4, verse number 1, is that the very description that was being used in chapter 3, verse number 15, "So now we call the proud blessed, and those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free." God says the day's coming when that's not going to be their reality. Instead, the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to come as a consuming fire. And the stubble, the fuel for that fire, is going to be all of the proud and all who do wickedly. The word that I would emphasize there is all. We cannot afford to have those things going on in our life. You know, I get really sad when I hear about people who are empowering people to stay entrenched in their sin rather than helping them to see there's another way. Wouldn't it, how would you, if you were a person and pride was an issue in your life, how would you reflect upon a believer that never challenged you on the problem of pride in your life, knowing that it was going to lead to your destruction and not to your blessing? Do you think we should never preach on pride? Do you think that we should never preach on wickedness because it might hurt somebody's feelings, because in preaching about that, because they're so skilled in practicing wickedness that it might hurt their feelings, but in the end it's going to spare them destruction and it would bring them into a position of blessing? I don't know about you, but I'm always thankful whenever a person intervenes on my behalf and spares me heartache. So several years ago, I was traveling to a men's conference, and we were in two different vehicles. I think I had to go someplace different than they. I think they were going back to Merritt Island, and I think I had to go someplace else. And so I was in a different vehicle from the rest of the men in our group. And as we were waiting at a stoplight, there was a person who decided, I mean, they were thoroughly intoxicated. It's the middle of the day. There were three people that were walking, and this guy just out of the blue decides, "I'm going to hurl this beer bottle and try and hit the lady." I don't know if it was his wife, don't know if it was his girlfriend, or but I'm just not made up of the temperament that is going to say, "You know what? Not my situation to deal with." That's just not the way that I'm wired. I'm not going to stand by idly and watch while somebody abuses and beats up another person. And so I hollered out the window at him and said, "Hey, don't do that." I'm not a big guy. I was even a smaller guy then. I mean, same height, but I weighed less then. I'm getting closer to what I weighed then, but I still weigh a little more now than I did then. And this guy comes raging across the traffic and starts pounding on my car window. I made sure that the doors were locked and the windows were rolled up, but it did stop him from trying to beat her up and fixated his attention on me. And I was like, oh, I pray that glass does not break. I pray that glass does not break. But you know what? I would rather have done that than just sit there and say, well, I hope he doesn't hurt her too bad. We have a responsibility to warn those who are not properly positioned for a visitation from God. And God is looking for holiness in us. And there are, when it says all there, there are no loopholes. There are no loopholes. A lot of people go through life thinking that there is a special loophole that's got their name written on it, and that God's not going to judge them because, after all, they're a good person. I want you to understand, there are no spiritual loopholes. You and I, we've got to repent of our sins. We've got to ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life, and we've got to live a righteous and holy life before him. So, verse number 2 says, but to you who fear my name, there's a contrasting way of treatment. Instead of being used as fuel for a fire, it says the Son of Righteousness, capital S, capital R, S-U-N, as in the whole sphere of humanity revolves around this Son. It says the Son of Righteousness shall arise. It might have looked like you were living in a day of darkness and a day where you had been cut off, but God wants you to know there's a new day that is dawning, and it's coming, and God is the one who's going to rise in prominence. God is going to change the atmosphere. God is going to come and deal with you differently than he deals with those who rejected him and rebelled against his authority. It says the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to pray for the sick because they might not get healed. I believe that the Lord is our healer. I believe that he wants to heal people. Not everybody that I pray for gets healed the way that I would want them to get healed. We had a dear brother that he got promoted to the presence of God. I mean, it was, as far as my timetable is concerned, it happened very, very quickly. You know, I think there were some things that had been going on for a while, but this happened very, very quickly. And it wasn't cancer. And I didn't see him healed the way that I wanted him to be healed. But I guarantee you this, sickness is not plaguing his body anymore. And his mortal body is now immortal, and his corruptible body is now incorruptible, and the devil can do him no more harm. So I want to approach this. I want to pray for people because this might be the healing breakthrough that they need. This might be the moment when the Son of Righteousness rises in their lives with healing for them. And so I don't want them to miss out on the blessing of healing. So I'm going to continue to pray for people to be made whole. Coming up on the 20th anniversary of my mother throwing a blood clot during surgery and ended up losing her leg and having it amputated in two different places. They amputated at one spot, and then they had to amputate it in another spot. That was a very painful time. On the way back, I was like, God, I'm going to evaluate everything I believe on healing. And I said, you know what? I don't have an answer as to why my mother didn't get healed, But I still believe the promises of God, so I'm still going to proclaim them. I'm still going to pray for people to be made well. He says, when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now, I will tell you this. I am a little familiar with farm animals from where I've come from, and I can tell you that calves have an abundant amount of energy. And so when they get to go out, it's no problem. Do you remember when you were young and you wouldn't just walk? You would skip wherever you would go, or you would run wherever you go. It's now that we're a little bit older and say, you know what, I'll get there when I get there. But back then it was the joy of the journey. When you're young and when you've just been healed, there is the joy of discovery. Look what I can do now. I didn't used to be able to do this. I've been transformed from mourning into rejoicing. I didn't go about victorious before, but now I'm going out as well-fed. I'm going out as healthy. I'm going out as strong. I'm going out with the joy of the Lord. I am going out, and my enemies are not going to triumph over me. That is everything that is being described here in verses 2 and verse number 3. There's when God arises, we ought to rejoice. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. I remember that was probably one of the first songs that we did. It wasn't the first one. I can tell you the first song, the first chorus we ever sang at Merit Assembly of God was Alive, Alive, Alive Forevermore. The church we'd come from down in Melbourne had a piano player, and she agreed to meet with me at the church down there, and I would have her play on piano the songs that we were going to be singing that week. And that's how we started. You don't want me playing the piano. I do not have that skill set at all. But we weren't going to allow things to hinder us from celebrating the goodness of God. Listen, suppressing God in your life will never have the impact that you think it will. The devil will try and convince you, well, you just need to abandon God. You need to walk away from him, and then life's going to get so much better. I want you to know that's a lie. It's just a flat-out lie from the pit of hell. A better quality of life comes when God is lifted to a higher place of prominence in our life, not when we dethrone him. So I want to encourage you to make God a higher priority in your life. Verse number 5 says this, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here it's interesting that the ministry of of John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah the prophet, that was to come. What this passage focuses on is not necessarily the spiritual dynamic of an individual that was going to prepare the way for the coming of the day of the Lord, but instead, it had to do with changing the dynamics of relationships. I want you to hear me. The church that you go to is not your spiritual supermarket. It should be about relationships. It really should be about relationships. If you don't have relationships with people at your church, you're missing out on a blessing and you're depriving them of a blessing. Okay? It is about relationship. And so whenever God sends a prophetic voice, it is always about calling people back to the standard of relationship that God always wanted. He was not looking for a generational disconnect. He was looking for generations that valued and honored and treasured one another. This is how the Old Testament culminates. It's the ending of the Old Testament. These are some of the last recorded words that they have until Jesus shows up. And he says, when Elijah's ministry takes place, it's going to first take place in the adults. Primarily, it talks about fathers, mothers as well. I'm not saying that that's the gen. It's not gender neutral. I'm saying that we need to accept that we're not just going to wait until God does it in someone else's life. We're going to say, God, do it in my life. Do it in my life. And so, if you're a lady, say, God, would you make sure that you prepare my heart for relationship with kids? One of the saddest things, and I've told you before, one of the things that bothers me greatly is when someone reaches a level of prominence and they say, you know what, I'm done with my parents. That really bothers me. It's not a new phenomena. It's been around for a long, long time. So God says, I'm going to start the work in the fathers. Men, do not accept the horrible, what is the word that I'm looking for? Stereotype. The horrible stereotype that this world sets for men, that we are completely detached from us, that all we want to do is go to work and come home and sit there with the remote in our hand and just become a couch potato, and we don't want to be invested in people's lives. God says, I'm gonna do a change of heart in dads, and they're going to realize the treasure that I have bestowed upon them in their children. Do you realize that we are given the privilege of setting the trajectory of our kids' lives? And we're going to do that by relationship, not by command. And listen, this generation, this day and time that we're living in right now, it is screaming. They are shouting at the top of their voice that there is a need for godly role models, godly spiritual fathers, godly spiritual mothers who recognize and value the children. Okay. I am sorry, but anybody who doesn't value that there's somebody that's got to carry the torch for the next generation. Paul looked at Timothy and realized here's a person that can carry the torch. Elijah had that in Elisha. Jesus made sure that was a reality with the disciples. If you have a disconnect with your kids, I pray that God does a work in your heart and that you will be the one that makes the first move. Okay? It also says that he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. And I will tell you, kids are generally extremely forgiving, especially when we own up to our own shortcomings, our own sins, our own mistakes. So don't be afraid to say, well, you know, God's really doing this work in my heart, but my kids hold so many things against me. Repent. Tell them that you're sorry. Apologize for that. And you will, listen, even if they don't respond right away, you have planted the seed for the Holy Spirit to work in them, and he will turn their hearts towards you. What other choice do we have? Listen, guys, don't be detached from your kids' lives. Don't. Be very actively involved in it. Let them know that they're important to you, not just because you say they're important, but because they see that you value them as important. And God says, a society that does not have this is going to experience a curse. Generational disconnect. And let me just say this for the kids honoring, or, you know, having their hearts turned to their parents. One day those roles will be reversed. You want to make sure that you sow the seeds now that is going to allow you to reap the harvest that you want in the future. So don't wait till you get there and say, well, I'm just going to do better than they did. You know, the law of seed time and harvest has a way of coming back and producing the same type of seeds that you've sown. And so I want to encourage you. I don't want to curse operating at Merit Assembly of God because of relational disconnect. I don't want it operating in your home. I believe that God wants America to be blessed, and it all boils down to the very first institution that God ever created, and that was the home. That was the home. Created the home before he created the church. And our homes are under tremendous attack. Now, I read a study here a couple of years ago. There's been this thing out there that says that the divorce rate is basically the same inside the church as it is outside the church. This study that I read said that is not necessarily the case. That is not necessarily the case. And so you, even if that statistic was true, which side of the equation do you want to come out on? The one that is successful or the one that is a failure? I'm sure we can all see in society things that happen wherever there's broken relationships between parents and kids. I don't want that to be a reality in my life. So I try and keep contact with my kids. I try and stay in contact with my parents. Try and stay in contact with my wife as well. I don't want any of those relationships to fail. So I want to encourage you today. Let God arise in your life. It's going to change your life. You're going to be well-fed and healthy, and let God change your heart so your relationships reflect a healthy relationship with him. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your love, the air I breathe. Be glorified. Your love has captured me. Set me free. Your life, the air I breathe. Be glorified in me. You set my feet to dancing. You set my heart on fire. In the presence of a thousand kings, you are my one.